Turn with me this evening to Psalm 119, beginning at verse 65. We will read verses 65 through 88. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Thus far we read the divinely inspired, infallible, sacred Scripture this evening. May God bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. The text for the sermon is verse 83. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how remarkable is the fact that the inner spiritual soul life of the regenerated believer can never be extinguished. When you consider all of the sorrows and the disappointments, the hardships and the deprivations faced by the saints, and when you consider all of the assaults of the devil who through manifold temptation seeks to assault our faith in order to get us to deny the truth and the goodness of God. And when you consider all of the pressures that are applied to faith when the cost of confessing the name and the truth of Jesus Christ is high, one's reputation, one's possessions, maybe even one's life. When you consider all of these things, then it would seem that it is certain that the inner spiritual soul life of the believer would be destroyed. But God safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our way. God is faithful. And yet the illustration of the text before us this evening indicates that sometimes the inner spiritual soul life of the believer is so greatly weakened that it is nearly extinguished, so that the believer says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. When a believer says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke, then you know that his spiritual life is almost gone. Tonight we consider the section Kaf of Psalm 119, which consists of verses 81 through 88. And in this section, the psalmist is giving expression to the intense suffering and the sorrow of his soul, causing him to lift that concluding plea of verse 88. Quicken me, I'm dying, O God, dying within. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. His suffering was so intense. And that's indicated by the fact that he nearly lost his faith, his soul. He did not lose his spiritual life. He will not. He cannot. God will never break the bruised reed. God will never quench the smoking flax. Though the life of faith may temporarily disappear, the inner principle of faith cannot be destroyed. The psalmist did not lose his spiritual life, but he almost did. He makes that very plain when he says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. So say some suffering saints still today. If this is not your confession and not your condition, then give praise and thanks to God. But be sure to add your prayers to the prayers of the saints for whom this is true. O God, my brother, my sister in the church is like a bottle in the smoke. Quicken him, quicken her according to thy loving kindness. God is faithful. And he quickens all of his own. He restores the inner spiritual life of the soul. Let's consider the text tonight, taking as our theme, like a bottle in the smoke. Considering three things. One, the suffering soul. Two, the faithful remembrance. And three, the personal confession. When the psalmist speaks of his suffering soul by employing the figure of a bottle in the smoke, he is using a figure that was very common, very easily understood by all of the Israelites and really any of the Eastern nomadic people of millennia ago. It is not so familiar to us. We're not really sure what a bottle in the smoke is all about. For when I say bottle, then you think, perhaps, glass wine bottle or amber-colored glass beer bottle or cheap plastic disposable water bottle or clear plastic bottle with a nipple on top for an infant. But when the psalmist said bottle, the Israelites thought of a goat skin, a leather goat skin. When the Israelite wanted a bottle, he didn't purchase a bottle somewhere, but he went out into the field and he selected a goat. He wanted a bigger bottle, a bigger goat, and a smaller bottle, a kid goat. Goats having stronger skin than the sheep. So he took a goat and he killed the goat. He would cut off the head, all four legs, and the tail. He might shave off all of the hair, but maybe not. And very carefully, he would reach his hand into the hole where the head was, the main hole, and he would carefully clean out all of the, well, all of the guts. The insides of the goat, make it nice and clean. Then he would sew up 5 holes, the hole where the tail was, and the 4 holes where the legs were. And now there was only 1 hole left, the main hole where the head was, and that is the mouth of the bottle. What he has now is basically a leather bag, a leather pouch, and that is his bottle. And you can imagine how much more convenient it would be to go on a journey riding a donkey, not carrying drinking water in a heavy jar or vessel, a clay pot, but putting the drinking water in what was basically a leather bag. Bottle. Goat skin bottle. Smoke. Bottle in the smoke. It was not uncommon for the Israelites to have some of these bottles hanging in their houses or on the exterior of their homes. And neither was it uncommon for the Israelite in food preparation to make a little fire in the house. Not having stoves and ovens and microwaves and gas or charcoal grills, make a little fire. And because they didn't have the fireplaces and chimneys and modern, the conventional ventilation system, there would be a cloud of smoke in the home or right outside the home. And there would be hanging the bottles. And the bottles being exposed to a little bit of smoke would be good, tanning the hide a bit and making the goat skin a little stronger. But when a thick, dense cloud of smoke lingered, and the bottle was hanging there, in the lingering smoke, the smoke would chap, would blacken, would dry out, would parch that strong, moist goat skin bottle, and it would crack and no longer be trustworthy. It couldn't hold the water any longer. No one ever took the bottle and put it into the fire. It would burn and be destroyed. But sometimes when the cloud of smoke lingered, then the bottle would be hanging too long in the smoke. Like a bottle in the smoke. That's the figure the psalmist used, familiar to all of the Israelites. And now he compares his suffering soul to the bottle in the smoke. The psalmist is like a bottle. He is saying that his soul, his inner spiritual life, is like a bottle. He begins in verse 81 of this section of Psalm 119. My soul fainteth for thy salvation. Verse 82, mine eyes fail for thy word. And there he's not talking about his physical eyes with brown or blue or greenish pupils, but he's speaking of the spiritual eyes of faith, the eyes of the soul. So that when we come to the text in verse 83 and he says, for I am become like, he's referring to his soul, the inner spiritual life of his soul, not his body, the exterior skin, the arms or the legs or the face, which may be chapped, but his soul. God has graciously given to him faith. He's a believer, one of the children of God. And inside his soul, as a believer, are all of the movements and the energies and the moisture of a spiritual life. He has faith unto God. He has love for God. He has hope in God, confidence in God, peace in God, joy and pleasure and delight in God. When he's spiritually strong, his confessions are lively. His prayers soar into the heights of heaven. He delights in his brethren in Israel. He is like a strong, moist goatskin bottle. The smoke, the lingering smoke, represents suffering, and particularly here in the text, persecution. Verse 84, how many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? Verse 85, the proud have digged pits for me. Verse 86, they persecute me wrongfully. Verse 87, they had almost consumed me upon earth. Persecution. The psalmist had done nothing wrong, but on account of his devotion and faithfulness to Jehovah God, there were those who hated him, who plotted against him, who sought to trap him in his words. And what's very important is that this persecution did not happen on occasion, but it was relentless and regular day after day after day, so that the psalmist says in verse 84, how many are the days of thy servant? All that persecution, day after day after day, was like the cloud of smoke that lingers. And there was his soul now in the midst of that persecution. Verse 81, he begins, my soul fainteth. Verse 82, he's becoming weaker and weaker. He says, mine eyes fail for thy word. And then finally in verse 83, he says, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. The soul of the psalmist wasn't put into the fire so that it was burned and destroyed, but his soul was hanging there in that lingering cloud of smoke, which is persecution. And though he was formerly strong, spiritually strong within, he now says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Dried out is my soul. Every believer is like a bottle. If you have a soul, and you do because you are a human being, and if you have faith, and you do as a child of God, then you have within your soul the confidence and the peace and the joy and the hope and the love of God. When suffering comes, and it does not go away, but it lingers in the air like a dense cloud of smoke, then the believer can become like a bottle in the smoke. Sometimes the smoke is persecution. Persecution that when it first comes is used to strengthen our faith and we draw nigh unto God and we are bold in the faith. But it may happen that persecution comes day after day after day after day and it lingers and then our soul becomes weak. Take, for example, a young woman who graduates from high school and she goes off into the workplace and gets a wonderful job that she really loves. She does clerical work as a secretary in an office somewhere for a big business, maybe downtown Grand Rapids. She loves her job. But day after day after day, her female co-workers, they ride her. They poke at her. They whisper about her. They're cruel to her because she does not dress provocatively as they dress in the workplace, because she does not join them in their parties on the weekend, because when they sit down at break, she does not talk that dirty talk like they do about their sexual escapades the weekend before. She goes to church. She keeps the Sabbath day holy. She uses clean language, and even more than once has asked them politely if they would stop using profanity of speech. They've met her boyfriend because he's come to work a time or two, and they know that in that relationship they have boundaries, they do not compromise their chastity. Over and over, day after day, they are against her in cruelty. They whisper against her. And though she's brought this matter to her supervisors, they're dragging their feet. Nothing's been done about it. And now when she goes home at night, she dreads getting up in the morning and going back to work. And nobody in the congregation knows it. But when she sits in church, she's all troubled in her soul because she knows tomorrow morning begins another week of being in that toxic environment. It's time to quit her job because this lingering smoke of persecution is beginning to dry up her soul. She does not have, as she used to have, that confidence unto God, that love for God, that peace in God, that joy in God. And those who know her well, those who are very close to her, will hear her say in so many words, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. The smoke, for some believers, may be ongoing, nagging, chronic pain in the body. Pain that does not go away because of injury or disease. And initially, that pain, it serves to make the believer's faith stronger and stronger, but it may happen that when that pain does not relent. So it becomes very difficult to perform basic, normal human functions. And one often finds himself in bed. Now bedridden day after day after week because of the intense pain. There are no joyful confessions coming off the tongue. There are no lofty prayers soaring into the heights of heaven. There is no delight in keeping fellowship with the children of God. The physical pain racking the body is beginning to deteriorate the condition of the soul so that the moisture, the spiritual moisture of the soul is drying up. And one says, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? And the pastor may hear it when he makes his visit. The closest family and friends may hear it in so many words. I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Some believers experience profound suffering and sorrow and grief of soul. For some, it's the loss of a loved one. And when a dear loved one passes away, there is, first of all, that initial shock. Even when the death is anticipated, there really is no preparation for the absolute finality of death. But especially when death comes as a sudden, unexpected tragedy, an automobile crash, a drowning, a diagnosis of cancer, a fast-moving cancer, and only a few weeks after the diagnosis, a funeral, the shock, that intense grief at the moment of death, but then the days and the weeks and the months and months after the death, the profound grief and sorrow of soul. Others have sorrow in their soul because of, and maybe no one knows this, but because of some horror from their past, their childhood, some traumatic experience. Others because of all kinds of adversities and losses in life, some sinking into depression and lower into that dark, dark pit of depression. Sometimes parents, fathers, mothers, office bearers in the church just overwhelmed by the pressures and the stresses that they face. Great sorrow and grief of soul. So that one laments, my soul was not always a suffering soul, but now it is very difficult for me to find any pleasure even in the simple things of life like eating and drinking and having communion with other people, fellowshipping with other people. In fact, there are many Sundays, I know it's wrong, there are many Sundays I do not even come to church because I do not want to be around other people. I am so low, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. The suffering soul. People of God, God will never break the bruised reed. God will never quench the smoking flax. And God will never allow the dried up soul to be completely dried up and dried out so that there is no longer any spiritual moisture within. God is faithful. God preserves the believer's soul, and the psalmist acknowledges that to be true for himself personally when he confesses in the second half of the text, "Yet do I not forget thy statutes." Though almost all of that inner moisture had disappeared, there was yet one little bit of moisture left in that soul. "I do not forget thy statutes." The faithful remembrance of God's statutes. The psalmist deliberately puts that in the negative. Now, we've formulated that in the positive in our second point this evening. The faithful remembrance. And that's in part because of the climax to which we will come in this second point. But the psalmist does put it in the negative. He doesn't say, "I faithfully remember," but he says, "Yet do I not forget." And he puts it that way because he almost forgot. It seems like he forgot. It looked like he had forgotten. And the devil was determined to get him to forget. But he did not forget God's statutes. That's what was left in his soul. That's not very much. But there was something left. God preserves even in the most beleaguered and downcast and grievously tormented believer, always a little bit of moisture yet in that soul. Here, it is the faithful remembrance of God's statutes. Statutes. This is one of the synonyms we find in Psalm 119 for the Word of God. Psalm 119, of course, is the great celebration of the Word of God, the character of God's Word, the attributes of His Word, the content of His Word. God graciously reveals Himself to Israel through Moses, and Moses writes that Word down. We know it today as the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Word of Jehovah God. Almost every verse in this very long psalm contains an explicit reference to the Word of God, either using the phrase, "the Word of the Lord," as we find "the Word" or "thy Word" in verses 81 or 82, or we find a synonym for "thy Word," such as commandments, judgments, law, precepts, testimonies, way, or here in the text, statutes. Statutes means something due, and it refers to the decree of the king as he issues a decree and commands something from the subjects of his realm. And that word statute is emphasizing the binding authority and the permanence of that decree of the king. If a mother says to her son, "Son, before you sit down for breakfast, I would like you to go outside and feed the goats. Go feed the goats." That's not a statute. That's her word. That's her command. He had better obey his mother, but it's not a statute. But when from that palace up on the hill, the king issues a decree for all those in his realm, and even writes it on a tablet and puts his official seal upon it, saying, "All boys in my kingdom must go out and feed their family goats before they sit down for breakfast." That would be a statute of binding authority, a permanent statute of the king. Now when the psalmist speaks of the statutes of the Lord, he is referring to the word of God. But the word of God now from the point of view of the commands of that word, and those commands insofar as they have binding authority and they are permanent. Really, every command of God was a statute, but principally those 10 commandments written on tables of stone were the statutes of Jehovah, a binding authority and permanence. And there is fundamentally one great statute of the Lord, the sovereign King of Israel. And his one chief principal statute is, have no other gods before me. That's not only first, that's the principal statute. And you take it and turn it around and put it in its positive. Have me. I am your creator and redeemer, Jehovah God. Have me. Love me. Serve me. Fear me. Submit to me. Worship me. Devote yourself unto me. Confess me. Deuteronomy 6 begins in verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. And if we keep reading deeper into Deuteronomy chapter 6, we come to those very well-known words. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and so on and so forth. But now if we back up between verse 1 and those familiar words in verses 7 and following, we have the explicit mention of one statute, and it's in verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. The statute, the authoritative decree of God, the permanent decree of God, that statute from which hang all of the other statutes is, have me. I am the Lord your God. Love me with all your heart. The psalmist says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. And he doesn't mean merely that somewhere back, way back in his mind, he remembers the wording of the statutes of the Lord, but he's speaking of love. When he says, I do not forget thy statutes, he means he loves God's statutes. He does not forget them because he loves them. The psalmist is saying, when my soul is overwhelmed in sorrow because wicked men persecute me without a cause, and when my soul fainteth for thy salvation, and when my eyes fail for thy word, when I am become like a bottle in the smoke and I feel all dried out and worthless spiritually, as if I no longer have any life unto God, yet there is one thing I still have. There's one little bit of moisture yet in my soul, one evidence still of God's grace. I do not forget thy statutes. The beleaguered believer says, when I am become like a bottle in the smoke, that is when I am in the depths of sorrow and even depressed, and when I am weeping because of inconsolable grief, And when I find myself crawling through life and needing morphine to do it because the pain in my body is so great, when I am so full of anguish because of the adversities of life that I can no longer open up the Bible and read, and I can no longer offer a prayer unto God, that's how low I am. I cannot even formulate a prayer. I do not feel like a child of God any longer. There is yet one thing in me. I do not forget thy statutes. I do not do thy statutes. I do not keep thy statutes as I ought to keep them, O wretched man that I am. And that grieves me more than anything else. I do not do thy statutes, O God, but I do not forget them. I remember them. If in my greatest agony and suffering of soul, one should come to me with two tables of stone on which are written the statutes of my God and say, your God who wrote these statutes, he does not love you. He has forgotten and forsaken you. Here is a hammer. Now smash to pieces the statutes of your God. Or here is a Bible. In which Bible are the statutes of God? Now take this Bible, you in all of your suffering, take this Bible and throw it into the fire. The believer says, if I am writhing in pain in the bed of the hospital, and one walks through the door, a chaplain, and he happens to be, of all people, a Muslim chaplain, and he asks if he can sit down alongside of my bed and read with me from the Quran and say a prayer unto Allah. Or through the door comes a Roman Catholic priest as a chaplain, and he asks if he can read the scriptures with me and say some Hail Marys. Or back from the other side of the curtain, deep in the room by the window, where that profane man is who's been cursing all night, and now early in the morning, he shouts at me and asks me to join him in cursing God. Or when I am outside of the door of my house, rolling around in the dirt and in the ashes, covered from head to toe in boils and writhing in pain, and my own wife stoops down beside me, and says, why don't you just curse God and die? When I am like a bottle in the smoke, I cannot even pray or meditate on God's word, yet I do not forget his statutes. And when one asks me to curse God and die, to blaspheme God in my sorrows, I react with holy horror and anger, for I do not forget thy statutes. All thy statutes, says the psalmist, plural, yet do I not forget thy statutes. That includes, for example, the fourth commandment in its binding authority and permanence. Keep the Sabbath day holy. The beleaguered believer says, I hear that statute. I know that statute. What grieves me, perhaps more than anything else, is that I don't do that statute. I don't keep it as I should. And often in my great sorrow and suffering, I don't even want to come to church. I don't want to worship God and gather with the saints, O wretched man that I am. But I do not forget that statute. Even in my lowest estate, if my children and those of their generation should rise up and say, let us abolish and do away with the Sabbath, I react in holy horror and anger. Because though I do not do that statute as I ought, I love it. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. amazing. Satan cannot take away from the believer's heart the statutes that God has inscribed upon the table of the new regenerated heart. Satan cannot touch what God has written upon the heart. I may not, says the believer, I may not have a song and a confession of praise for God right now when I am like a bottle in the smoke, but I do not forget His statutes. But people of God, there's something deeper. Way deeper. There's something stronger. Deeper and stronger than our faithful remembrance of God's statutes. And this is the glory of the gospel of grace. There is God's faithful remembrance of us. Not ours of Him, but this is the glory of the gospel, His of us. For the Messiah's sake. For the Messiah's sake, God faithfully remembers us. God made a promise, and His promise is like a statute to God. He binds Himself to His covenant promise, and for the Messiah's sake, He will keep His promise and faithfully remember us. For the Messiah's sake, now go to Calvary, to the cross. Behold and see if there be any smoke like His smoke. If there be any dried out and parched soul like His, oh, so dried out and parched soul. Especially during those 3 hours of darkness, did our Lord not cry out, I am become like a bottle in the smoke? When He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And when He cried out, I thirst, His moisture was drying up, especially in the darkness. He was not singing gleefully in the darkness. He was not lifting lofty prayers that were soaring into the heights of heaven during the darkness, as He had prayed in the upper room. He was not preaching and performing miracles during the darkness as He had formerly. He was in the smoke. He was being smoked by Jehovah God, because He was the sin bearer, bearing our sins. And therefore He was bearing the smoke of the fury and the wrath of the just and righteous God. He was like a goatskin bottle hanging there on the cross in all of the divine smoke of God. And in the midst of all of it, every moment, He never forgot God's statutes, the chief of which is love me with all your heart, even in the darkness, even in the smoke. He did not forget God's statute. More than that, He kept it. He performed it. He fulfilled God's will. He gave a perfect heart of love to God, even in the smoke. But it wasn't only smoke. It was also fire. Not only the smoke, but the fire of God's wrath. Down He went into the fire. He was burned for us and for our sins in order, as the Son of God, to bear away all the punishment that we deserve for our sins. He bore it all away, the bottle in the smoke and fire of God's wrath. For His sake, God faithfully remembers us. God will never put us in the fire and burn us. He will never punish us. Remember that. Even in the depths of our suffering, God will not punish us. He punished Jesus for us. When our soul faints for His salvation, God will bring it. He faithfully remembers us. When our eyes long for the comfort of His Word, God will bring that comfort. He faithfully remembers us. When our soul cries out, "Quicken me according to Thy loving kindness," God will quicken you in His loving kindness. He faithfully remembers us. And when we say, "I do not forget Thy statutes," that's only because God does not forget us. He faithfully remembers each one of His own. Faithful covenant God. The text is the psalmist's personal confession. And now, is this your personal confession tonight? "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget Thy statutes." If that is not your confession tonight, because the suffering soul that the psalmist experienced is not your condition, then God be praised. But if this is your condition, and this is your confession, you're not alone. Others have felt this way, including the psalmist. And who was the psalmist? The psalmist may have been, and likely was, David, which means the one who made this personal confession was a king, an office bearer, a leader in the church. Sometimes it is the pastor, one of the elders, one of the deacons. Sometimes it is the father or the mother, as one of the leaders in the home, who is like a bottle in the smoke. Likely the psalmist was a young man, for he says back in verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Young men are the picture of strength. But Isaiah 40 verse 30 says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." Not all young men are on the inside what they appear to be on the outside. And that's true for the teenage girls, the high school age girls, the graduates from high school too, young men and young women. Sometimes it is the youth who are like a bottle in the smoke. Don't be afraid to make this your personal confession. Don't be afraid to say it. The psalmist said it. Say it to God, as the psalmist did. "Oh God, I am like a bottle in the smoke." To your pastor, a close friend or family member, "I can't go on any longer. I can't continue like this. I am become like a bottle in the smoke." That's not a complaint. You may say that. If that's true, say it. Say it. "I am become like a bottle in the smoke." The psalmist wasn't always this way, for you notice he said, "I am become like a bottle in the smoke." He wasn't always as weak as he is now, and the psalmist will not always be weak like this, and neither will you. for God will hear and will quicken him. Now he is, and he says it, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Say it. And then say this, yet do I not forget thy statutes. And this, God will remember me. And even if you're not so sure about that, we will say it with you and we will say it for you. And the gospel declares it, child of God, God faithfully remembers you. He will quicken you again. He will. That old, dried out, parched, blackened, goatskin bottle, I wouldn't trust it. I wouldn't want it anymore. I wouldn't want to go on a journey with it. It would leak water. I would throw it away. God never throws us away. Once we become His bottle by grace, we are always His bottle. Vessels of praise unto Him. No matter how weak we become, how unworthy of His grace we become, as we all are, once His vessel, always His vessel. And in His faithful remembrance, He will fill us with conscious delight in Him so that we live for His praise. We confess His name. We lift up lofty prayers into heaven again. We rejoice in delighting with the brethren. And we live in service unto Him. For Jesus' sake, God will quicken us, the God who faithfully remembers us. To Him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Father in heaven, forever, O God, our Lord, Thy word is settled in the heavens. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to Thine ordinances, for all are Thy servants. Lord, give us the grace, by strengthening our faith, to be able to say tonight that Thy word is sure and settled in the heavens. And may we go forth then in great confidence that Thou wilt faithfully remember not only all Thy children, but Thou wilt remember us. For Jesus' sake, and it is in His name that we pray. Amen.